mindfulness mode.
We need to take more self-care. We need to take more self-loving actions to us as we go through this great awakening.
Mindful Tribe, I'm here today with a man whose mission is to show people that you can be more of yourself when you go on the journey to heal your heart. And he's certainly been on that journey, and I can tell that by listening to his podcast and reading his bio. He's the founder of Raw Attraction Magazine, which has over 3 million downloads, and the Heart Initiation Academy, and he's the author of My Ecstatic Rebirth, The 10 Keys to Unleash Your Power, Your Power, Purpose, and Pleasure. I'm here today with Steve James. Steve, are you in mindfulness mode today?
I certainly am doing my best to be as mindful as I can at every single moment that I live. So yeah, this is one of those moments. So I look forward to connecting with you about mindfulness on the podcast.
Great. Fantastic. So what does mindfulness mean to you, Steve?
The definition to me is an integrated version of oneself or myself. So that's cultivating a deep embodied present awareness of what is going on in my body, and also awareness of what is going on in reality beyond me and in this world at large. And also having I use my own map of the true divine self, which I've discovered on my shamanic journey. So I'm mindful of that aspect or the map of my own being when I interact with someone. So I have, just briefly, it's really being mindful of the connection to my higher self, the connection to my heart, the connection to my soul, the connection to God. And then I bring myself forward in a mindful way from that point of view. So it's about bringing that, in a sense, of self-awareness and emotional regulation and living myself and showing up fully in myself in a mindful way in every moment, bringing all aspects of my being to a situation. And there's obviously different aspects of mindfulness. There's mindful action, there's mindful attention, mindful awareness, mindful acceptance, mindful compassion. It's not all just being still. I think some people maybe new to mindfulness might think it might be that, but for me it's also in our actions, and we're human beings, we're more in an action mode, unless we're sleeping of course, than we're in a non-action mode. So being mindful in our actions is incredibly important.
Well, I really like the detail that you put into that answer, Steve. I wanted to ask you, how old were you when you decided that you wanted to focus on how to align with your divine plan?
Yeah, divine plan and divine self, because yeah, divine plan is a word I use a lot on my podcast and in my work. It was probably when I was 29. I'm 39 now, so about a decade ago, or 28. And that just came out after a lot of consecutive heartbreaks and just going down a path that was a broken path. It wasn't a healed path. And then I read certain books at that point. I think the first time I saw the words divine plan were in a book called Bringers of the Dawn by Barbara Marciniak, I think that's how you pronounce her name, probably. Mm-hmm. Or Marciniak, I think, sorry. It's a channel book from the Pleiades, and it just rang a bell with me. And then a few months after reading that, my mentor was using those words all the time. She was saying that was all of the work that she did, was to get people aligned and get herself aligned with her divine plan, or your divine plan, because we all have individual divine plans. So it was around the 28, 29.
Mm-hmm. And what role does God play in your divine plan?
Well, the map that I use in the true divine self has, it's like two trinities with the heart in its center. And so the heart and the soul are as one in the center. Then you've got the great I am, which I say is my version of what God is. It's the infinite everything. It's the lattice work of reality. It's love. It's justice. It's peace. It's everything divine that you can imagine in the great I am. So that's God. And then you've got the I am, which is your higher self, the I am consciousness. And that when you are consciously connected with it, you're in a oneness with God. I say God is infinite at infinite speed, or you could say light speed, or just an infinite speed. Whereas the I am consciousness, we have, as human beings, have to engage with it. So we do it at our own speed. We can't take on the mind of God, which I know you mentioned before the podcast about DMT. And I remember one of my friends speaking about the 5-MeO DMT that she had done. I haven't done that one because it sounds way too intense. But she had experience, and I had a similar kind of experience on DMT, where you do psychedelics and you fall into the void. And you probably get a taste of what this infinite God, love, justice, lattice work of reality is like. And she, I can't really do it justice, but she explained it to me. And that's what it was like. And it, you know, we have to live in this reality. We can't constantly be on these psychedelics, or we can't constantly access that realm because it's too overwhelming. It's just way too much. So we access it through our higher self, or most people, if they can access it through their soul and their heart. Obviously, many people currently in this world are not very much embodied essences of their own soul. They're trying to find pieces of their own soul and piece themselves back together, which is a mindfulness journey in itself. And so, yeah, it's God has the overarching role in all of this. And it's about kind of just building yourself up to connect more in with God. When I was having first conversations with my mentor, who was an elder shamaness woman in Colorado in 2015, and she was talking to me about God, and it seemed like she had an extremely, she was the wisest woman I've ever met, extremely deep connection with God already. And I didn't particularly at that point. That was 2015, so I'm about just gone 30 at that point. So for me, it's just been a day-to-day cultivation of this connection with God. You know, there's is it Michelangelo in the Vatican with the on the roof where they're trying to touch fingers between man and God?
Yes.
And it's,
yes,
it is. It's about reaching out to him. It's your that I am self. I think Jesus Christ was the first that we know of person to embody the I am presence in a human. Like, he embodied it fully. And him as a metaphor of the I am self, and also an integrated soul, because he did it, he did his soul mission here to the highest level that we know. Then we can start cultivating this and aligning with our divine plan. But it takes active mindful work. And it's not particularly easy. It's not, I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not, but.
Right. Well, I'm interested that you brought up your experience with DMT, because I was listening to your podcast and to the December 30th episode where you talked about this. And it's quite interesting to learn some of the things you said about it. And one of the things that you said is that you haven't done it since 2018. You haven't had experience with any of these substances since then, because you felt like you've worked through a lot of your traumas and healed them, and that you don't have as much healing to do now. So tell me about the healing that you felt you needed to do. You've touched on that already with your with the shaman. So tell me about the healing that you felt you needed to do.
Well, the healing I felt that I needed to do was just latent within my being. It was just in my body. Dr. Peter Levine wrote a great book called Waking the Tiger. And that really, one of the main points in it was that as humans, we have trauma trapped inside our bodies, and animals in the wild, they will shake off their trauma. If a gazelle is chased by a lion and manages to escape, it will literally shake. You'll see, you know, dogs probably do the same thing, most other animals, and he goes through that, and he's a great ambassador for this mind-body connection, one of the best out there. And so I knew on having experiences in different workshops, different body workers, I knew there was all this trauma trapped in my body from living a life as a teenager, especially, which was very harsh on my nervous system, because there was a lot of fighting at home. I had three younger brothers, and my parents were going through a divorce at that point, which was elongated over many years. And there was just, you know, I was overly sensitive being anyway, and especially to sounds and things like that. And it was just not so much physical harm on me, my body, but psychological and nervous system was just on a, you know, a level that I knew I had to do something about it as an adult if I wanted to heal. So that was one, that's, I think, the first part of the journey. But many people finding body-based, somatic-based practitioners, body, breath work, healing body work, acupuncture, ecstatic dance people go to around the world now, and also just cleansing your body with good nutrition and fresh water and making sure that it's clean, and you start feeling your body in a different way. You're mindful with your food, you're mindful with everything that you choose to do with your body. Your sexuality becomes different. You have to think about things in a different way if you're being mindful in every aspect of your life. So once you've done that part, then this bottom half of my true divine self map, or I say my, it's not really mine, well, my mentor taught most of it to me, or but she just didn't put it out on a map, but she could have done easily. So is the divine masculine, divine feminine, divine child. And so the bottom half always starts with the inner child, and there's always inner child work to do. And that was one of the first things I did with my mentor when I was in a real fragile state, going through relationship difficulties back then with my former partner back then. And yeah, that was really important work. I give a free meditation on my website that helps people with that inner child work. And then it starts with healing this, the inner masculine and inner feminine, because we wind up having wounded inner masculines and wounded inner feminines. And this holy trinity that is biblical in essence is a Gnostic, or it's a gnosis of meaning, you know, having more self-awareness around what is going on inside your own being. And this inner masculine, inner feminine, which is, you know, all over society at the moment with the woundedness of it, especially in America. And I don't want to wade too much into it, but I have done in my own podcast and will do in the future. But, you know, gender dysmorphia and the trans issues with, well, there was shooting in America recently, and then there's a lot of drag queens going into schools teaching young children things half naked. It's really, really weird time to be watching all of this stuff. Whereas if we had an education around our true divine selves and we've come into these beings and we've come into this soul to experience our inner masculine and inner feminine in a healthy way, how do we navigate this as teens, as young adults, and as fully grown adults? Well, we have to engage with these parts of ourselves. And ultimately, when you are in the purest form of these, the masculine and feminine, the divine parts, the masculine stands for integrity and unconditional love, its most simplest form. Let's keep it as simple as possible. And then the feminine is nurturing love and innocence. And so we all have these aspects within our own being, obviously tend to be, if you're in a male body, you tend to associate more with the masculine side. So you're not as nurturing as perhaps as a woman, a mother can be, a Mother Mary can be, and vice versa, you know. So there's this balance that we have, which is the beautiful balance between the feminine and the masculine. And so it needs to be more mindfully engaged with in society in general. It's what I go through in my book in much more detail than I can do here, but you can get my audiobook for free. I'm offering that on my website as well. So,
and what is your website?
Yeah, the one where people can get the free stuff is heartinitiationacademy.com. There is a quiz there to do first, but once you've done the quiz, you'll get the audiobook and meditations about the true divine self. So it might be, it needs a bit more explaining than just a few minutes here, but I hopefully give it some good overview. So you're getting an
understanding. Yeah. Thanks for that overview. I really appreciate it. So I'm just interested about what you mentioned, the challenges when you were in your teens with your brothers and your family. Do you still have a relationship with your brothers now?
They probably haven't gone on the healing journey that I have. One of them has a little bit, the other two not. They don't really speak to each other that much. It's not like everyone doesn't get along. It's just that they're very much their own people and they're kind of just living their own lives.
And in different places.
Yeah. And that's kind of the British men. Mentality doesn't have such a close family upbringing. Say, I've traveled to Colombia, for example, and like they have the closest family you can ever imagine. I live in
They do.
Yeah, it's amazing to be around Colombian people, and even in the Czech Republic where I live now, there's quite a strong family upbringing.
And what made you decide to move to the Czech Republic? I'm really interested.
Well, one was an entrepreneurial thing. I needed to get out of London for financial reasons. It was just too expensive to live in, wanted to find somewhere out of the UK actually just to live better. But then love pulled me to Prague and started a relationship back in 2015. Not in that relationship now, but I'm in a different one, about to get married next week. And so, yeah.
Congratulations on that next week.
Yeah. Well, on Saturday, actually, and we're on Wednesday the 19th, so Saturday 22nd. And it's a beautiful place to live, Prague, because it's just very well balanced architecturally. I love the ancient cities. You can just walk around the old town. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be a balance of the feminine and the masculine within the city itself. And there's not many cities like that. Most cities tend to be more masculine based. They neglect the feminine aspects of architecture and beauty. Many cities, I think Rome does okay at that, but Prague's certainly one of the most beautifully balanced architecturally cities in the old town anyway. So
right. And what about the people there? Do you relate to the people a lot?
The sense of humor is very good in Czech Republic, and that's great because they need it because they came out of communism for many years, only about 30 odd years ago now. And so what I was saying about Colombia and the Czech Republic, both of those countries, and even I think Cuba, I was there and they had a similar way with family. It's that they have this tight-knit thing because all of the militias in Colombia with Escobar and also the government was horrific. So they needed a tight-knit family and they still want to keep that ongoing now because it's not particularly great in Colombia on a national level. Same with the Czechs. They've seen disaster in their generations and therefore they're not so lackadaisical or laissez-faire about their family. They realize how it's important. Whereas I think the British, maybe the Americans as well, I don't know, speak for yourself about Canadians. But the thing is they think everything's fine when actually it isn't. fine at all in England at all at the moment. It's an absolute mess. Like, I could go on about that. They need we need family more than ever. It needs to come back.
Yeah, we definitely do, and we need that here in Canada as well. Stephen, you mentioned humor and comedy. You do some work as a comedian. Tell me about that. What brought you to that place where you would end up on the stage as a comedian?
Well, I've always been interested in comedy. I'm not actively doing that now. It was something that I did in 2011, actually kind of just before I went on my shamanic journey, my healing journey, and performed in front of about 120 people and, you know, had to leave the country afterwards because it was such a disaster. It was that bad. So I've always had a love of comedy. I think it's an extremely important attribute.
So what do you mean it was that bad? Do you mean the response by the audience or what do you mean?
I mean, no, if anyone who's done stand-up comedy, they might understand the nerves that come with it. I've talked on stage before about business and, you know, I'm happy to speak in front of people, but when you're pushed that everything has to be funny because you're now a comedian.
Yes.
It's scary. And my body was essentially pissing itself. Like for the 5 minutes before I was going to go on stage, I must've been to the piss like 10 times. And I didn't know my body could do that. It was a weird experience. Just experiencing that in my body. I was like, what is going on? And yeah, there was one laugh at the beginning. I did 5 minutes and then one laugh at the end. And so there was like 3 minutes of silence. But I'm got quite edgy, dark comedy. And
okay. So the people didn't really get it.
No,
then.
It's like too
basically it.
I think to do my kind of comedy, you have to like, I'm a bit like Ricky Gervais. I like Ricky Gervais because I've followed him since, you know, he grew on in England year 2000 and 2003. Right. He had a massive podcast and his personality is some part of my comedy brain is mixed with my own and mixed with other people. And I think that's too offensive for people if you get on stage and they don't know you at all. Or you're going to a club and you just, you know, people are, it depends on the audience. If you know the audience, then you know what you can do. It's an art, really. I respect, if I had a twin or if I had another life I could live now, I would probably be doing stand-up comedy on a circuit, but I just don't have, it takes real time and real effort to do it full time. So I say I'm a part-time comedian because I like to make jokes and I like to show that humor is a part of my being and it's in my book and people laugh at my book and things like that. Also, when you're on this true divine self path, I'm a Libra as well. So I'm not, you know, massively into astrology, but I know for a fact I need balance. Otherwise I can't function. And so if I haven't got the humor on the other side, that's really part of my grounded personality, making jokes a lot with my partner or my friends, then like I'll go mad. I just couldn't do it.
Right.
So I actually, I think it's an extremely important part of life and relationships is to cultivate.
Yeah, I do too.
Humor.
I do too. I often say I don't think we laugh enough. Yeah. And I think that it really helps us to be balanced if we can laugh at things, laugh at the world, laugh at ourselves, you know, because it can give us something that being serious just doesn't if you're serious all the time. Now, your book is called My Ecstatic Rebirth, The 10 Keys to Unleash Your Power, Purpose, and Pleasure. So when did your ecstatic rebirth take place? And can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I think it's an ongoing thing. And it's became an ecstatic rebirth because I was looking at all the different facets of my being from sacred sexuality, from shamanism, and the true divine self. And letting go of this wounded self. I mean, my mentor used to say a lot is that to step into this true divine self version of ourselves, which essentially is the brightest version of your soul embodied in your being now, in your human body now, connected with your divine plan. That's what your true divine self is. It's not that you kind of lose your personality and grow a new one. You just develop a more evolved version of it. Just like when you're, 25 years old, you're not the same as when you're 15 years old.
Absolutely.
People seem to forget these things sometimes, especially ones who are afraid to go on the journey of healing. So the ecstatic part really kind of hit home was realizing I was more like fully orgasmic in my body. I was going to tantric workshops and also massages in Prague, and like one of them I had a orgasm through my eyeball, and this woman was sitting behind my head, and cupped her hand over my eyeball, and there was all this orgasm going through my eye and my brain. I can have these orgasms that go through my brain, every neuron in my brain, when my partner licks my in between my forehead, which it's kind of strange for people to hear when if they've never heard such a thing, but it is possible to essentially have orgasmic experiences in any cell of your body, and I think beyond the cell in your whole soul. And it's this ecstatic nature that is accessible to us when we step out of the wounded versions of ourselves, when we step out of the shame and these lower vibrational things that Dr. David Hawkins talks about in his book Power versus Force, which I talk about quite a lot on my podcast. And that ecstatic nature is ready for all of us as we kind of go through this rebirth. And I think Christ was the one to point to this rebirth process through his extremely dramatic, extremely, everyone knows about his rebirth. So that in our human psyche, whether you're Christian or not, is there, and no one can deny it. And I think that rebirth needs to be looked at in a mindful way, in a daily basis, in every aspect of our life, from our sexuality, from our communication, from our nutrition to whatever it is. So you're constantly renewing yourself into a higher vibration of yourself. And if you want to look into the scale of vibrations, then Power versus Force is a great book to do that with.
Oh, it is. It really is. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the fact that I couldn't find your book on Amazon. Where can we get your book?
The book, there's an audiobook version available from heartinitiationacademy.com for free. If you want a workbook version, if you want video, it's behind me where you can write in the book, and it's on thesteveexperience.com. I haven't got it on Amazon. I didn't feel aligned to put it on there. I might do it at some point, but it's self-published through a company called Lulu's, and they do print on demand, so enables to save shipping costs, because it's printed wherever your closest printer is, and there's printers all around the world. But the workbook version is available there, and you can write in it, because there's questions that I ask at the end of each chapter, which invokes more of a healing process, because you're engaging with your soul and your higher self as you answer these questions in the book. But if you want a taste of it, then the audiobooks are free.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks. I will look into that. And I want to ask you a question about bullying, because this is something I always ask in my show. And do you have a story or a comment about bullying where mindfulness would have made a difference?
Well, I was thinking about this question because you put it on the email before, and it depends which situation. I'll probably give you two situations, one from my childhood and then one collective one. The childhood, I think every kid at my school was bullied in some sense. By just looking back, it seemed like even the big guys, which I was sort of probably a middle rung, had my humor. People kind of liked me most people liked me because of my humor and my sporting abilities, but there were still a group who were so-called friends who decided to write a book of hate about me and got everyone to sign it, which was my whipping against the wall, as some other guys were thrown into trash cans and got, and like, you know, had worse dealings than me. But I had that for a few weeks, and yeah, a more mindful attitude, or I would have probably seek more justice for those people who did that. I would have probably told my teacher or someone to really look into what they were doing, because I think one of those people that did it may have learned something from it, but they didn't really understand the full impact what they were doing. I think it's when you're a teenager or a child, you should have faith that there are adults, and tell more than one adult. If you can't tell your parents, then fair enough, because they might have their own issues, but try and tell someone about what is going on and have faith that they will do something about it. If it's really bad, then contact the police and have a situation, because we should be helping our children out and forcing some kind of justice system and looking up really what's going on there, so that they don't carry this out into adulthood. And so having a mindful attitude towards justice and the fact that you shouldn't be psychologically or physically or any other way pressured as a child to experience whatever you're experiencing, where it's, you know, any kind of abuse.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would say there. If you're experiencing that, and then the healing process needs to come in on a societal level to offer healing to whoever's punishing the bully. If it's a teenager, it's probably the parents or someone else is doing it. You have to really unravel the situation and try and get as much healing done as possible. On a societal level, I think we were quite coercively bullied in the last 3 years by our governments and the media in certain lies and that's gone on in the world. And there's certain people that are speaking out about it from a mindful perspective. I think we need to continue speaking the truth. And there are certain politicians, Andrew Bridgen in the UK is doing a good job of that. But we continue need to be speaking the truth. It's what Christ is all about. I think Christ is synonymous with the word truth. You can't disentangle those two words. He could have been called Jesus Truth for all I'm concerned. That's what I mean there. So if we want to live in a more mindful and conscious way for ourselves and for our children, then when we must speak the truth when we see it, whatever, whether it's about the last 3 years or if we can't go back to that, then whatever's in front of us now, whatever ridiculous thing is being peddled in the media, actually find the truth about the situation. Or if it's a horrific situation that a child is experiencing because they are not having enough choice about a drag queen going into their school, then speak the truth. Go and do something about it legally, because the legal systems, I think, still should be providing justice in these circumstances, because we still again have to have faith in the justice system, whether we're a child, a teenager, or an adult. We have to continually push the justice system to do something about these things.
Steve, as we move forward in the interview, I want to ask you 5 quick answer questions. So just 30-second answers are perfect. The first one is this: who is one person who has been a really powerful mindfulness influence in your life?
I'd probably say my father. He's just level-headed, never taken things too seriously, but just serious enough. So I would say him.
Interesting. And tell me about your emotions. How does mindfulness help you deal with your emotions?
Well, when you have the mindful structure that we mentioned about the map of consciousness, and you're aware of that map of consciousness,
Right.
Then you can navigate your emotions much easier because you're going to get to neutral and then love more quickly because you know where they are on the scale. Like, okay, I'm angry now and let's get to neutral as quickly as possible so I can at least look at the circumstance in a different way. And it's fine to be angry, even if we're the most enlightened being in the universe. I mean, Christ was still angry at the money changes and everything else that was going on right. this planet. You still can yes. be angry, but get to neutral and then make a decision.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I want to talk to you about breathing. Do you have any thoughts, any ideas about breathing that can help us with mindfulness?
I think this is that neurologist, Andrew Huberman. I think I was doing it naturally. He was talking about it on a video, and this double breath in with the nose and then out mm-hmm. with the mouth. When you're slightly stressed, I mean, he talks about it from a neurological perspective, but it essentially decreases the stress in whatever situations. You're having a heated conversation with someone and you want to calm down a little bit. They don't even particularly know you're doing it, or maybe they do notice, it doesn't really matter, but it just deregulates your system and makes you calm and calms the nervous right. system. So that's a simple one right. to do in conversation.
Yeah, for sure. My next question is about a book. You've mentioned a number of books already. You mentioned Power Versus Force by David Hawkins. Are there any other books that you would recommend that are related to mindfulness?
Well, I like to go to the extremes when it comes to mindfulness. So Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. I mean, he said between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space, it's our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. And that's, you know, considering he had a Christ-like journey with the horrific things he went through, and managed to come out on the other side and write a book that was so profound, and then went on to work in psychiatry. And is a profound person in terms of the field of existential therapy. You know, it's got to be that. I also look at the Gospel of Thomas, which is not necessarily a book, but it's in the Nag Hammadi scriptures. And from, you know, Christ obviously went through deep suffering, and that book is 114 of his sayings that I've actually gone through on a podcast in terms of analysis, but it's better to go through it on your own and see what mm-hmm. you take from it. There's a lot of mindful points within that and wisdom. So those two, I know you asked for one, but I give two.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. And the last question is about an app. And I know that you're a podcaster and you, I guess, probably listen to a number of podcasts as well. So those are some apps that people use. But are there any apps that you would recommend that can help with mindfulness?
Well, I mean, the ones that I do use are not specifically for mindfulness, but
sure,
it's more music. So I know on YouTube, there's a lot of these 7-hour or 3-hour meditations, mm-hmm. Which I use a lot. When I'm working, I'm always listening to these chilled out vibrations that put me in the right mood for creativity, and that's a mindful way to work. So I would probably choose that in terms of what I use. Mm-hmm. Just choosing your music selectively. So it could be a Spotify, it could be a YouTube. Those, I think, really help me to be more mindful and approach my day in a beautiful way, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steve, I feel like we could talk for a long time yet, because yeah. there are so many topics that we could discuss, including forgiveness, including guilt, including death. I think that we could really get involved in quite a lot more conversation, but I just want to thank you so much for being on Mindfulness Mode, because I think that you're a perfect fit for the show. as we wrap up, do you have any final words of advice for our listeners, our Mindful Tribe listeners?
Well, as we step deeper into this, I think we're collectively going through a great awakening at the moment in 2023. And this is a great thing that Bruce is doing, is this mindfulness podcast, that because we need to take more self-care, we need to take more self-loving actions to us as we go through this great awakening, as things unfold, the truth unfolds more and more. We have to become more self-loving and compassionate to our fellow humans. So every moment that we spend taking care of ourselves means that we are overflowing our cup to fill others. So I think that's probably the most mindful way I could end this, because there, I think I see more chaos coming on the horizon, and it's going to be a time to navigate your ship to the shores of calm waters and calm land via self-awareness, self-love, self-responsibility, and mindfulness.
Right. Well, thanks again. Thanks again, Steve, for being on the show. I really appreciate it. All the best to you. Bye now.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay. Thank you so much. Hey, Mindful Tribe, want to get better sleep? Want to be more relaxed? Want to build your immune system? Well, my sponsor, Athletic Greens, has a product that you might just really love. And I know I do. It's called AG1. It contains 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced ingredients, and probiotics. And it contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial ingredients. You mix it with water, and it, like I said, supports better sleep and better alertness as well. And Athletic Greens uses the best products based on the latest science, and it costs less than $3 a day. So if you're interested in this, Mindful Tribe, here is a special offer just for you. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/mindfulness. So with that, take what we've learned today to reach new heights of calm, focus, and happiness. Stay in the mode.